The Buddha way is about birth and death. You've probably seen the Han that's hanging outside that wooden block. And it usually has a poem on it, and this one I think just has part of the poem. But the traditional inscription says, birth and death is the great matter. The arrow of time is swift. Awake, awake. Don't waste this life. I was thinking about this. Hearing about the attack in London, and I take public transportation a lot, so sometimes I, if I'm on the train or so, I say, "Well, you know, this could be it. This could be the moment," and it's maybe a little weird, but it's kind of it's a little exciting, actually. Yeah, it's a little weird, but it is it's a little exciting. This this pivotal moment suddenly manifesting. You know? And I used to spend a good deal of time wondering, well, what if I'm not ready? Many years ago, I was down at Jamesburg, there on the way into Tassajara, and as it happened, the then abbot of Zen Center and I were cruising around in my pickup truck. I'm not exactly sure why we were. Anyway, we were just sort of driving around in my pickup truck, and I asked him. I said, "So, how does one prepare for death?" And he basically went, and then he said, "I could also, you know, I could shout, but," he said, "really, everything's shouting, so it's kind of superfluous." So, at that moment, kind of everything stopped. And it took me quite a few years to actually appreciate that sudden silence. But the message was clear. You know, birth and death is now, right now. And whether our particular corporeal manifestation seems to continue or not is that's just a detail. And the entirety of our being is now. And this is the source of the wondrous power of our Zazen, which I'm sure you all appreciate. So we have to, it's not that we have to make ready. Maybe that's maybe one way to look at it, but I think a more accurate way to look at it is we are ready. We are ready moment by moment. Each and every moment of our being, opens into vastness. And once we have some, I don't know, sometimes I feel unduly burdened by Buddhist vocabulary. But anyway, once we have some realization, it affects how we move through the world. There's some deep confidence that whatever happens, I am ready for birth and death. Yeah. And the abbot's clapping. There's no time in there to make ready. Or another way to say it is, there's no time. I was giving a talk at Tassajara once, and someone I shall not name said, "You know, I've heard you give this talk before," and I was scandalized. I don't remember what I said. I think I was too shocked to, you know, complain or ask that person what she thought she meant by that. But in a way, I think her point was that there is only one point. There isn't really any reason to talk about anything but birth and death right now. So all of our Zen campfire tales, they're all about that. They're all about that pivotal moment, which is this moment and this one and this one. And sometimes our ancestors, they just gave free rein to their kind of poetic sensibility. So they wound up talking about this one point in various ways. So Dogen, our old friend from 13th century Japan, one of his essays is titled "The Pupil of the Eye." And as you read, if you read that essay, you come to understand that the pupil of the eye is a metaphor for this moment. The title. I wondered at some point why didn't you just call it the eye, the eyeball or something? But the Japanese expression ganzei means eye pupil, and of course if you look at your eye, the pupil is like a bottomless space. If you look into someone's eyes, the pupil opens onto vastness. So one way of talking about this impossible moment is call it the pupil of the eye. One of our great ancestors, Dongshan Yangjie, one of our founders, when he was practicing with his teacher, Yunyan Tangsheng, he went to see Yunyan and he said, I would like to receive the teacher's eye pupil. And Yunyan gave him a puzzled look and said, You have your own. And poor Dongshan said, No, I don't. And Yunyan said, Isn't seeking the pupil of the eye, the pupil of the eye? And Dongshan sighed deeply and said, I have no eyes. And Yunyan apparently was a little bit excitable. So he said, "Get out!" Fortunately, their relationship did not end there. And you know the story, of course, eventually. Dongshan, you know, he was so convinced that the teacher had the eye pupil and he didn't, that he left the monastery. And as you all know, after he'd traveled a good distance, he crossed a creek and happened to look down at the water and saw his face and realized, oh, the pupil of the eye is where I am. is where we are. One way that story could have turned out, of course, would have been if he'd turned around and gone charging back to the monastery and said, "Oh, teacher," and kind of clarified all that now, but he didn't. And as he took his leave from Yunyan, Yunyan said kind of a prophetic thing. It's like, "Well, we are not likely to meet again." And the other point is that having come to recognize the pupil of the eye, he did not need to go back to see his teacher. So, you know, as it said, he just turned in the direction of the monastery and bowed. And recited his famous verse of awakening. Anybody know that verse? No? Nobody gets a gold star?
Well, first he said, "It will be hard not to meet again."
Yeah, that was Dongshan. Dongshan said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, it was one of his typical smart aleck remarks. So, Yunyan ignored that.
I thought he said his verse when he got to the pool.
Yeah, when he crossed the creek.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I once told somebody that verse is a lifetime of practice right there. If I can't remember it, that'll be really embarrassing. But let's see. I think it goes. That's later on. Get it? He says. Yes, that's how it begins. Thank you. He says, strenuously avoid seeking outside, lest you go far astray. I travel on alone now, but everywhere I go, I meet it. It is now no other than me, but I am not it. It must be understood in this way to merge with true suchness. So that was Dongshan's little song about the pupil of the eye. The bottomless moment, birth and death. So you might want to read his essay. I don't know, maybe you won't agree with me, but currently my favorite translation is Kaz Ta-Nehisi's beautiful version of the Shobo Genzo. If you don't have that in your library, get it soon. He talks about the eye pupil in various strangely poetic ways. mountains, rivers, and the great earth are nothing but the eye pupil. And the eye pupil is nothing other than mountains, rivers, and the great earth. Apparently, Dogen's teacher, Rujing, he used that expression also, the pupil of the eye. And one time he said, the pupil of the eye is when I beat the monks and yell at them. Oh, and in that same essay, Dogen quotes one of Rujing's poems, where he says, the equinox is near. The days grow shorter. Radiance spills from the pupil of the eye. And fills the 10 directions. Breath peacefully passes from the nostrils as the storm clouds gather. So if I ask you, are you ready now? What will you say? Our somewhat unpredictable friends in North Korea could have some fireworks in store for us. If so, are we ready? If we think, oh no, I'm not ready, what do you think will make you ready? Maybe you think, as Dongshan did, that the pupil of the eye isn't yours. That birth and death isn't fully, completely expressing in you right now. Once my teacher was giving a talk, and he kind of paused and said, you know, if everybody got up and came over here and started pounding on me, maybe I'd change my mind. But we didn't, so I guess he didn't. But of course, his point was, circumstances might not look ideal. Then what? radiance spills from the eye pupil, fills the 10 directions. Breath peacefully leaves the nostrils as storm clouds gather. Yunyan yells, "Get out!" That he actually means, "Come closer." So when you go by the Han on your way out, recite that little poem to yourselves. Birth and death is the great matter. Swift the arrow of time. Awake! Awake! As the last line of our one of our beloved poems, Merging of Difference and Unity, says, those five Chinese characters, day, night, not, vainly, spend. Day, night, not, vainly, spend. Vainly, yeah. Do you have some question? Yes.
Microphone if people want to ask questions.
Oh.
This is the new innovation.
Oh. It's not on yet.
Okay. It's got a green light. Okay, now it doesn't have green light. Hello? Hello?
Oh, no.
I'll bet you I can hear you guys even without that.
No, not the recording.
Oh, well, I can repeat the questions. I can do that. Please.
I don't want to misquote the gentleman's name, but when he said get out, did he think he was being understood as come closer?
Based on the story of their practicing together, maybe in that particular moment, Dongshan wasn't so clear about that, but that became clear subsequently. Yunyan could have kicked him out of the community, but he didn't. He just said, "Get out of my room!" In Chan, you get to say stuff like that, and it actually means, "Come closer."
I am aware that they do this.
Yeah.
This is a wave bye-bye to me, but that to them means, "Come here."
Yeah. Yeah. when I was in Japan, I kept forgetting that in Japan, if you go like this, it means come here. And there was a school right next to the monastery where I was, and I would wave at the kids, forgetting that, and I'd have all these kids around me. So, just goes to show you. Yes.
I couldn't help but think of the people that have been suffering through these hurricanes. And there are some people who thought they were ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
When they actually experienced the full force of the hurricane, they changed their minds.
They thought not ready.
And it seems like, you know, whereas we can say we're ready for particularly death.
Yes.
We could be surprised by our response.
We might have the thought, I'm not ready. Yeah, it's possible.
We might have the thought before that we're ready.
Right.
And we might have the thought afterwards that we're not ready.
And
things become apparent.
Yes, and at that point, one may realize that those thoughts are kind of irrelevant. That would be really good. I think on that same occasion, I think the abbot said to me, actually, whether you think you're ready or not, off you go. So, yes, did you?
Being ready doesn't mean that you wouldn't like to wake up tomorrow morning.
Of course not. Right. Yes?
I've always preferred ready or not myself. I would like to ask, you were reciting a poem, I think the portion I remember, and I'm going to misquote it, is, it is surely me, but I am not it. Would you please elaborate on that?
It is now no other than me, but I am not it. This is about the perspective of self and other. One could, if one was maybe a little unclear on the concept or the principle, one could possibly think, oh, cool, I am all this. This is great. I am the universe. And that would not be right. So, in this very compressed and brilliant teaching, Dongshan was pointing that out. He had noticed that that would be incorrect. Not, I am that. It's like, no. All that? That's you. That's all there is. Yes?
Speaking of which, one of the admin... do I have to?
Yeah.
Oh. I forgot to repeat the question already. Sorry.
I'm going to try it if you don't
mind. Okay. I think one of the admonitions you said was not to spend your days and nights in vain.
Yeah.
But it seems to me any pursuits we embark upon are in vain.
How so?
We choose them. There's vanity involved in our choosing. It's unavoidable, it seems.
Well, we will inevitably wind up doing something. Let's put it this way. What would make those activities not in vain?
That's what I'm wondering.
Anybody?
Attention, mindfulness.
Mindfulness. I hate to use the buzzword of the day, but I mean, it's really what comes to mind.
Yeah, in our study hour at Harvard Street, we're currently reading the essay Continuous Practice. And basically, it's just a long collection of campfire tales about great practitioners who's they're basically like us.
But isn't there enjoyment in hearing those tales?
Oh, yes.
Is that not somewhat vain in being delighted by the tales?
Oh, I don't think that's vain at all.
You don't?
No. No. Delight is a grand thing. Nothing wrong with delight.
But there's vanity involved in it.
You know, another translation would be, don't waste this life. So maybe if we get rid of that word, which maybe has echoes of Ecclesiastes, vanitas, vanitatis, omnia vanitas. That's a little different. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That's another way. Yeah.
I didn't want to burst the poetic bubble earlier.
Well, now you can.
But now I'm going. I didn't want to burst the poetic.
Burst away.
Bubble earlier, but and I'm sure this won't really burst it. But I was reading something, History of Chinese Buddhism by Arthur Whaley, and he mentioned this word, the pupil of the eye, and he said, "Oh, there's a great confusion about this term. It's just a Chinese word for essence."
For essence.
For essence. Hmm. Yeah. So that's what he had to say about it.
Okay. That seems pretty good, too.
But it's much less poetic than the pupil of the eye.
Yeah.
Just as the pupil of the eye.
Well, Arthur's been gone a long time. Yes.
Why do they put hyphens when they say birth and death? Or... why don't they put birth, living, death, or something like that?
Well, it's only two Chinese characters. So, and that expression is so intimate, it's like one character. So in English, the hyphen draws terms closer together. So that's why, because it's not two things. It's one thing.
But what about the middle? Or there's a beginning, birth, ending, death, or is it just now that they're sort of saying?
It's all birth and death.
Yeah. Thanks.
On the subject of vanity, I was thinking for myself it would be it would not be vanity if I separated. If I put myself in there, it would be vanity or vain. But if I wasn't separate with the whatever I was doing or the enjoyment, there's nothing else but just the pupil of the eye.
Yeah. So, as we like to say, when sweeping, just sweep. Just sweep.
And we're not putting other things on it that, well, for instance, too, doing something for someone, just doing it instead of wanting something in return or wanting to feel good about doing something.
Well, that stuff may come up, but, you know, don't hang your hat on it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Something like that.
Birth, death is about our bodies. Is it right? Is that right?
Well, it's certainly not about our body-mind.
Okay, and therefore my interpretation of it is that it is making the point of how insignificant our corporeal lives are. Mm. It just seems like a flash. There is no middle. It's an instant.
Yes, but I would say that's quite the contrary. That's tremendously significant. Suzuki Roshi is saying all phenomena are a brief flashing into existence. That's it. But that's something magnificent there.
Yeah, I don't mean to say anything other than the measurement of it. It is simply that short.
It's that short, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or that long, I guess.
He wasn't downplaying the significance of everything.
Yeah.
Right.
I didn't mean to be speaking of significance in the question.
Okay, good. Have I earned my rice?
Have I earned my rice?
I have a footnote.
Maestro?
I have a footnote, and it's not really a commercial, and it's not really changing the subject, but this past week they had the story of Martin Luther. Hmm. And I kept thinking, well, that's Zen. It just seemed to be Zen.
Yes. Maybe you should have a look at that. Do you recommend, even though it's not a commercial?
I highly recommend.
Thank you. All right. Grace alone. Grace. Oh, yes.
One more thing.
Yes.
Sometimes the verse at the end... when he says, "I am," it's instead of saying "I am not it," it's translated or presented as "I am not him."
Sometimes it does say that, yes.
Yeah, and I that feels more warm. That feels warmer to me because it references back to his teacher and that, you know, something about their interaction and the completion of their interaction and his understanding of
right.
his teacher and his teacher's teaching.
Right. And, of course, another version of that verse is, I travel on alone now, and everywhere I go, I meet him. So,
yeah.
That's okay, too.
Get out! Dad stayed with me because at first it may call for a reaction or as a directive to get out.
Mm-hmm.
But on a deeper look, it wasn't a physical get out. And for me, it was, get out of the way, Raphael.
Did it work?
It's still working.
It's still working. All right.
I'm staying out of the way.
Well, I'm giving it to you to pass.
Pass the torch. Or maybe that's enough. As always, I'm very impressed with your practice. Thank you very much.